Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Look at Psalm 27 and verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. You got to say amen. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. How many love the house of God? I love the house of God. We're going to talk about my Father's house for just a few minutes today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, just this spirit of liberty and worship in this house today. We have enjoyed, Lord, worshiping you and lifting you up and lifting your name up. We know now that your presence is here, that we're standing on holy ground, Lord, and that the presence of your angels are here to minister and to help. And Lord, now your word is going forth, and I believe that it's going to help us today. I know your word is anointed, but would you anoint the hearing of your word, anoint the preaching of your word today. Help us to be made better in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord as you're seated today. God is so good. God is so good. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. We're going to talk about our Father's house today for a few minutes, but I want to look, let's go on a little journey, a little story here. First, in the book of Ruth, I want to get something out of the way here. Not out of the way, but just first and foremost. In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, it's going to read a little story. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. And the name of one was Orpah. I always read it Oprah first, but it is Orpah. And the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Naomi's lost it all. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So they're going back where they left from. They left because of a famine, and they left and things got worse. Because she's got her husband and her son's dying, and Naomi's losing everything. And skipping to verse 19, it says they too went until they came to Bethlehem. It's talking about Naomi and Ruth, because we see that Ruth cleaves to Naomi. She says, look, I'm going with you. I'm not leaving you. You're people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. And there's a message to be preached about Ruth cleaving to Naomi in this. And there's about 10 different messages you can preach out of this whole account. But Naomi and Ruth says they went till they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi? Naomi's back." But she said to them, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" Naomi is bitter because she left, and then she had all this loss, and things just got worse. And now she said, I went out full, I came back empty. This is just bad, and I don't even want you to call me Naomi anymore. Just call me Mara, because I'm bitter and I'm empty. I've got nothing. I've lost everything. Ruth came back with me, but I couldn't really even stop her from doing that. She just kind of clung to me, and here she is. And we see, again, you can preach so many things out of this, but we see just a little bit later how Ruth meets Boaz, and Naomi really goes from bitter to excited and anticipating and optimistic just like that. As soon as Ruth says, "I met this guy named Boaz," and she said, "Hold on, say his name one more time, Boaz." She's like, "Okay, we got to get you looking better. We got to get." She's like, "You got to marry this guy," and things get better, and we see how God works in this whole situation. But what I want to zero in on for a moment is how they left. Let me say this first. Any backslider, anyone that has left the house of God, can return to the house of God and be restored, and God can bless them and use them and make them new and restore them completely. However, as we see in this passage, it's clear that leaving the house of bread, as they called it, left Naomi with a bitter taste in her mouth. It's clear that Naomi wishes she had never left the house of bread in the first place. And I'm sure if Naomi could stand here, she would tell you that it's better. It's better that you never leave the house of God in the first place. Don't go working on your testimony, as some say. Stay in the house of God. I'm sure that Naomi would tell you there is nothing outside of the house of bread for you. You see, when there came a bump in the road, Naomi and her husband, they left the house of bread to find bread. They left fulfillment to find fulfillment. They left the place with all the answers to find some answers. They left where their purpose was to find purpose. They left satisfaction to find satisfaction. They left the place with everything they would ever need to find what they thought they needed, and it just doesn't work that way. I'm telling you, when there comes a bump in the road and there comes some hard times in the house of God, it's still better to stay in the house of God than it is to leave and lose everything. I want to tell somebody today, plant your feet in the house of God and say, "I'm not going anywhere. It doesn't matter the storm, the famine, the trial, the tribulation. I'd still rather stay in the house of bread because I know that God is going to come through again." There's nothing outside of the house of God for you. There's nothing outside the house of God for you, church. And sure, the enemy will entice you. He'll make it look great. He makes it look like there's lasting provision out there. He makes it look so fulfilling. He makes it look like a new revelation. He makes it look like deconstruction. That's a spirit that we're fighting in the world today, that deconstruction. He'll make it sound like freedom. But the enemy will only ever show you the shiny side of the coin. He'll show you a bag of silver, but he won't show you Judas hanging from a tree. He'll show you Absalom, the playboy, but he doesn't show you Absalom hanging by his hair filled with arrows. The enemy, he'll show you the pleasure and the fun. He'll show you what it looks like. He'll show you the partying. He'll show you what looks like fulfillment. He'll show you what looks like success. He'll show you someone that can cure your loneliness for a little bit, but he won't show you the cost. He won't show you you lost. He won't show you laying awake at night with tears in your eyes saying, "Lord, don't let the trumpet sound while I sleep tonight." He won't show you in regret. He won't show you in shame. He won't show you empty and broken. He won't show you addicted. He won't show you contemplating taking your own life because of how far down you've gone. He won't show you a lake of fire. And I'll tell you this, that the devil can only ever show you his rookies because he doesn't have any veterans. I'll say it again. The devil can only ever show you his rookies because the devil don't have no veterans. There are no elders to look to in the world that say, "Yeah, I've made it all this time." I tell you, they don't last out there. Fulfillment doesn't last out there. There's nothing for you that can last in the world. Stay in the house of bread. Stay in the house of provision. Because there are people that I can look through that have weathered the storms and been through trials and tribulations. I can go to elders that are in this house and say, "How'd you make it through?" I stuck with God. I stuck in the house of God. I planted my feet in the house of God, and God always came through. I've been through some storms. I've been through hard times. I've been offended. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. I've been sick, but I've never been forsaken in the house of God. That's how you make it. Somebody needs to plant their feet in the church and make up your mind, "I'm not going anywhere." I tell you, there are ministers and prayer warriors and preachers and soul winners and Bible study teachers in this church that the enemy would love to deceive because he wants you disconnected from your source of life, your source of fulfillment. He wants you to disconnect from your church family. He wants you to disconnect from the people of God. He wants you to disconnect from the kingdom of God. He wants the voice of your pastor to be silenced in your life. He wants the voice of counsel to be silenced in your life. He wants the word of God to be silenced in your life. He doesn't want you involved. He doesn't want you connected. Doesn't want you thriving and living in the house of God. He's okay if you sit on the pew dead in the house of God. You know, there are some that they come to church pretty regularly still, here in body. Not here in spirit, here in body, but your heart might be far from this place. The Bible says where your heart is, your treasure. And I'll say it like this, that where your heart is, your mind is going to go. And you're going to follow eventually where your heart and your mind are going. And sometimes we need to wake up. Sometimes we need to be shaken awake in the house of God. There are plenty of backsliders with success stories that quickly turn into sad stories. It doesn't last. I'll tell you, you won't make it out there, not really. Now, I'm not telling us that we live inside these four walls like a cult that has no contact with the outside world. I believe in separation, not isolation. If I'm not connecting with anybody out there, if I'm not shining a light, if I'm not winning souls, if I'm not loving people, I'm not doing, that just makes me a cult. But I'm talking about I'm not going to join myself to the things of this world. I'm not going to abandon the house of God. I'm staying in the house of bread. I'm staying in the house of fulfillment. Amen? Stay in the church. I'll go back one more time. Naomi said, "I went out full. When I left, I was full and I didn't even realize it. But I have returned again and now I know what emptiness feels like. I've come back, but I've come back bitter and I've come back empty." And thank God we read on, like I said, and we see how God was working behind the scenes and turns things around and brings blessing. And thank God Naomi found herself back in that place. But there are people out there today that are wondering outside the house of bread. I pray to God that they would find their way back. Even if they come back and say, I'm empty. But the point I want to make here is that Naomi would tell you, yeah, God can restore. Yeah, God can bring you back. But just stay. Just stay. But I'd rather stay in the house of God than have to experience some things and come back empty and broken and have scars and have things in my mind and my heart. And I'd just rather stay in the house of God. Amen. We need a revival of this scripture. Psalm 122 and 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me. Could somebody clap your hands if you are glad to be in the house of the Lord, in the house of fulfillment, in the house of bread? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I tell you, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to my Father's house. Let's go to Jesus's house. I was glad. We need a revival of that scripture. Because people are so apathetic about the house of God today. But I love the house of God. I love coming to my Father's house. If times are good, if they're bad, if they're happy, if they're sad, if I've got money in the bank or I'm broke, if I'm sick or I'm well, if you're introverted or you're extroverted, if you're black, white, red, yellow, brown, purple, if you like pineapple on pizza or you're a mentally stable person, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter if you're put together or you're a straight up messed up. We ought to know that there's a seat for me at the table in my Father's house, and I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to get to my Father's house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We ought to wake up on Sunday morning and say, you know what? It might have been a rough week. I went to bed late. I didn't sleep good last night. But I am glad that it's time to go into the house of the Lord. I'll try and get me a Sunday nap later on. But right now, kids, get up. Honey, get up. It's time to get ready. It's time to go to Jesus's house. It's time to go to the Father's house. Audio Adrenaline sang a song that says, it's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. It's a big, big table with lots and lots of food. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a big, big yard where we can play football. You know, there's some kind of theological explanation for that in there. And they said, it's a big, big house. It's my Father's house. Y'all think y'all can do that for altar call? I'm just kidding. Don't attempt that. I'm just kidding. We'll learn it later. But the point, I loved singing that song growing up. I still love listening to Audio Adrenaline. That's oldies but goodies. I always loved that house because they're saying, you know, it doesn't matter where you come from. They said it don't matter if you got a butler or a maid or you just, you know, you got it made in the shade, and whatever they say, you know, they're saying it doesn't matter your background, what you're going through, where you come from, what color you are, what your culture is like, where you've been, where you're going. It don't matter because there's room for you in the Father's house. There is a seat for you at the table in our Father's house. And that's true. There's another song we sing. We ain't singing in a while, but we need to pull it back out. It says, let's go to the house. Let's sing in the house. Let's shout in the house. Let's go to the house of the Lord. This is a place of hope, of healing, of restoration, of brother and sisterhood, of love, of support, of peace, of refuge. It's a place of refuge. Can I preach about Dorothy for a minute? Let me tell you, when that big old Nader was coming down the road, everybody else went underground, Dorothy ran into the house. Y'all think I'm reaching a little bit on that? I might be, but it's still good. It still sounds good. The storm was coming. Everybody else went underground. Dorothy rode out the storm inside the house. She ran into the house and was safe. She ran into the house and everything else was ripped apart. But the house, it sent her over the rainbow, got her to the other side. And when the storm was over, the enemy was dead up under the house. Let me tell somebody ought to look at the devil and say, "Na na na boo boo, you can't get me in my father's house. You can't touch me in my father's house. I'm going to run to the house, whether it's good or bad, mountaintop or valley. I know I can go to my father's house." I love my father's house because all my siblings are there. Yeah, my brothers and my sisters are here. Do we butt heads sometimes? Do we get on each other's nerves sometimes? Sure. What siblings don't? What siblings haven't choke slammed each other from time to time? What brothers and sisters haven't said words that hurt to each other sometimes? But I love my brothers and my sisters. They pray for me. They pray with me. They support me. They lift me up. They give me counsel. They weep with me when I'm weeping. They rejoice with me when I'm rejoicing. I love my brothers and sisters. You know, I'm sure that it was cramped up in Noah's Ark. I'm sure they got irritated. I'm sure they got overstimulated. I'm sure them animals was stanky. Ain't no plumbing in the ark. Just piles. It was stinking up in that ark. And there were probably a few tense days up on that boat. But it was better all day, every day, than being outside and drowning. Come on, somebody. My worst day in my father's house is still better than any day in the world. I'd rather have a few tense days or bad days or stormy days inside the boat with my family sailing to safety than outside by myself and lost and drowning. I love my father's house. Psalm 84 and 10 says, "A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." It's better all day, every day, inside the house of God. A lot of people today, they want to talk down on the church. They want to discredit the house of God. They want to deconstruct the house of God. But I stand in opposition to that today, and I'm here to say that I love the church of the living God. I love going to church. I love being the church. I love showing up to church and lifting my hands. I love that I have a place of safety that I can run to. I love that I have brothers and sisters that I can meet with and worship together and lift one another up. I love the church. I love the church. 1 Timothy 3, 14, Paul is writing. He says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I take a little longer, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." There are people that say, they love to say, the church is a people, not a place. The church is a people, not a place. And I understand that within reason. But people that say that, a lot of times they use that to say, "I don't need to go to church, because the church is a people, not a place." And I had a guy one time, Dusty remembers, we were talking to him. He said, "You know, the word church ain't even in the Bible." I baffled. baffled. I'm not even going to get into that. I couldn't believe it. The word church is not even in the Bible. Okay, well, I just read it here. Let me give you one zillion other examples. Anyway, people say the church is a place, it's not a people. I get what they mean, but Paul writes here that the house of God is the church of the living God. And this is what it means. The house of God, it forms the foundation of the ecclesia or the church. A gathering together of believers. And it's referred to here as the pillar and the ground of the truth. This foundation is essential for worshipers to be assembled in one place where they can be taught correct doctrine, where they can worship the Lord together, where God can move in their midst. It might be a small building. It might be a big building. It might be a grass hut. It might be a cinder block room. It might be a train depot. It might be a Lions Club building. It might be an old barbecue restaurant. Can my OGs say amen?
Amen.
It might be a magnificent cathedral, and it might be under a tent somewhere. But when believers get together in the house of God, that is the church of the living God in action. If you want to be the church, go to church. We got to get outside the walls, yeah, but if you want to be the church, you got to go to church. You got to get together with brothers and sisters and lift up the name of the Lord and hear the preached word of God. Church is important, and I will stand and die on that hill that church is essential. They tried to tell us in 2020 that it's not. Shut your doors, shelter in place. I'm telling you, the house of God is essential to our walk with God. To gather together with people of like-minded faith and worship the Lord and hear the word of God and let God move in our midst. That's the church of the living God. That's what Paul wrote here. Thank God we have freedom to do it like this. Some people do it in secret underground, but that's still the house of God and that's still the church of the living God. Can we just take a moment and give thanks and praise for the house of God? Before I go any further, I'm winding down, but could you just lift your hands right now and just say, Lord, thank you for your house. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for my church. Thank you, Lord, for my church family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the house of God. Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, some people do it. We're not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Gathering together as the people of God should become more and more important and precious to us the closer we get to the end. More than ever, we need the church. It's not time for the church to be silent. It's not time for churches to get smaller. It's not time for churches to stand back to the sidelines. We need the church of the living God more than we have ever needed it. And we're going to continue. We're going to continue as we see the day approaching. Stand with me today. Our musicians can come. I tell you, the church, as this world gets darker, the house of God is going to be the only light. The people of God is going to be the only light. I want to go back to our opening text. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in His temple. Sometimes we lose our focus. Church becomes an obligation or a task that we have to get through on Sundays. I know that we work. I know we got life going on outside these walls. I know now I can say, I know what it's like to get ready on Sunday morning with a toddler that don't want to get ready. I know that the cares of life weigh on us. I know that our minds are preoccupied. Sometimes we come into the house of the Lord like that. We let all kinds of things distort our view of the house of God and why we're even here. But maybe we should get back to saying, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. Maybe it would help shift my focus back to the right thing if I would remember why I'm here. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. Lord, You're beautiful. Lord, You're wonderful. Lord, You're magnificent. Let the cares of this life melt away in Your presence and in Your house. Let my focus shift again to beholding the beauty of the Lord. When we gather together and we see someone come to this altar and pray and God fills them with the Holy Ghost, I'm beholding the beauty of the Lord. When we see somebody that they've been going through it and they need a breakthrough, and we see brothers and sisters flock to them and pray with them and God gives them a breakthrough and blesses them, I'm beholding the beauty of the Lord. When I come in and I need an answer, I need a word and something from the Word of God, it strikes me right in the heart. That arrow hits the mark. I'm beholding the beauty of the Lord. When we see somebody sick and they come and they pray and God moves and works and touches them and heals their body, I'm beholding the beauty of the Lord. When we come in and we all have our hands lifted and we're singing the same song of worship, I'm beholding the beauty of the Lord. Because ultimately it's about Him. And He works and does miracles. And we see the results and the effects of the moving of God. But it still all flows from God. And no matter what He does, that's me beholding the beauty and the splendor and the magnificence of the Lord, because ultimately it is about Him. I love my brothers. I love my sisters. I love my church family. I love this facility. I love the things that we get to do and experience in our Father's house, but ultimately that is who I'm here for, is my Father. I never show up to Dad's house and He's not here. I never come to visit Dad and He's not here. When I come into the house of the Lord, He's here waiting. And yeah, He's with us always, but there's something about being in the house of the Lord, inquiring in His temple, this dedicated space where we gather as believers and we come to see our Father. Come to see our Father. I'm thankful for the house of the Lord. Could we lift our hands for just a moment right now? I want us to get in the right mindset. I want us to get into an atmosphere of thankfulness. I tell you, we love to preach truth in the house of the Lord. If you've never repented of your sins, if you've never laid those things on the altar, you can do that today. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you can do that today. God will wash your sins away. If you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's one of the beautiful things that we get to behold in the house of the Lord. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Whatever you need is in this house today. Could we find a place in the altar for a few moments and come with gratitude? I'm inviting you now to find a place to stand or to kneel. And I want us to worship. I want us to have gratitude first and foremost. But then realize that, Lord, whatever I have need of, I know that you can do today in your house. In your house. Can we just take a few moments today and just love the Lord and worship Him for His house?
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.